Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Neverland Podcast 003.
Up to Neverland!
Take a start of the right and straight until morning. Neverland!
Good day to you. This is once again Jeremy, your host, as always. And grab your nearest pixie, sprinkle a little dust, and fly with me off to Neverland one more time. Now, we've been having a good old time this month because it is Christmas time. And so we are going to continue that theme. We're going to continue with our Christmas theme. And if you remember from last week, I did ask for a few of you to perhaps share some stories, if you had some, about being in a Christmas pageant when you were a child. And so we are going to talk about Christmas pageants, which is a time-honored Christmas tradition. I would also like to take this opportunity to remind you to visit our website, neverlandpodcast.com. You can find, with each show note, you can find links to any song that I play. I will, well, provided I can find a link, but you can find a way to purchase a song through iTunes, and when you do that, you are helping to support the show, and I do appreciate it, and I hope you've been coming along on this short journey with us and been enjoying it every week. Please feel free to let me know what you think about the show. You can email me to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Find me on Facebook, The Neverland Podcast, facebook.com, obviously, and on Twitter, @NeverlandPcast.
The sanctuary lights begin to dim. The congregation is waiting for the show to begin. The director tells me everything will be fine, but I wish I had more time to learn my lines. Tell me, out come shepherds at the start. Looks like there was a sale on bathrobes at Walmart. Next come the wise men, causing quite a stir. One just can't stop sneezing, allergic to myrrh. This year we flew the angels on a wire, lifted up higher and higher. Our heavenly host was the talk of the town, but what goes up must come. Once a year. The angels finally made it backstage with ice packs on their wings, while Joe and Mary come down the aisle carrying the King of Kings. Our drama teacher plays Mary. She's 43 years old. Her assistant is Joseph. He does what he's told. And our Jesus is little Sydney. We just call him Sid. This year we used a real baby. Last year was Cabbage Patch Kid. Whoever wrote No Crying He Makes, they never met this boy. It's so hard to imagine Jesus holding on to a Star Wars toy. We decided to use real animals this year. Camels, donkeys, cows and sheep, and the janitors filled with fear. The room got rather pungent, some folks were turning green. And I don't recall a guy with a shovel in the manger scene. We're putting on a play, it may not be professional, but we're all filled with Christmas cheer. We're putting on a play. Once a year. When it was finally over, applause rang through the hall. The congregation stood on its feet as we took our curtain call. On stage we all danced around, jumped up and down with glee. Then we broke right through a thin layer of plywood into the baptistry. We're putting on a play. It may not be professional, but we're all filled with Christmas cheer. Once a year, we're putting on a play. Yeah, it may not be professional, but we're all filled with Christmas cheer. We're putting on a play. Get on our knees and thank the Lord that it only happens once a year.
So, without further ado, I have a special guest who is probably not for the last time going to be on here talking about nerdy things. Because we are who we are. We are the biggest kids I know. And that's what this show is about. But let me introduce you to Phil.
Hello, how you doing?
That is Phil. That was a great intro, wasn't it?
Hello, how you doing? That's me.
Look, this is Phil.
Hi.
I'm Phil. That's Phil. So Phil and I, we went to the same church, grew up together, where his father was a pastor. And so we got to do a lot of Christmas pageants together. So we're going to kind of talk about our memories of doing it and the wacky things that we have a pretty good story. That we have to be careful how we phrase it, probably, because this is a family-friendly show.
PG.
I try to be as G as I can, but there might be a few PG songs I pick out for an upcoming show. I'm going to have still something post-Christmas, because, you know, that 12 days of Christmas kind of thing. We're going to have a special program. I got a lot of different varieties of the 12 days of Christmas. And, you know, there is mention of buying alcohol and cigarettes as a great gift for Christmas. And so if anybody's going to be offended next week, there you go. Okay, just to get that over the way. But if you don't mind your kids hearing that sort of thing, that's fine. But if you want to, I'll warn you, and you can skip ahead like 5 minutes next week. But that's next week. all right, focus. So this week, all right, now, you know, I don't recall much doing any pageants until your church kind of joined into where my old building was, and I don't even know what happened to the old pastor I had, but I don't think we really ever did anything before. But then you guys came in, and it's like every Sunday school class had to have their own program, and then, of course, a nativity, which is the typical thing.
Well, before we ever joined in together, you guys went to the Maple Park Garden Bible Church.
Yep.
And we went to the Moment of Truth Baptist Church, and we're both very small churches. Your pastor had some health issues and eventually had to retire. I had to do research on this a couple years ago on all this. But he had to retire, and we were basically not drying up. We had a lot of people, but it was just a small little room. There was nowhere to go. So we always try to have programs at our church, and a lot of times each class would try to have something, and it was always a lot of fun. But really, until we got to go and join with y'all and became the Maple, excuse me, the Moment of Truth Bible Church. Well, it was Bible Church.
Well, it was Bible Church, yeah. Then we became Bible Baptist.
The Bible Baptist, yeah, when we got the newer building. But anyway, yeah, when we did that, yeah, we didn't have a lot of room to be doing those shows. So when we first started, my aunt, you remember her, Aunt LaDonna?
Oh, yes.
LaDonna Alexander. She would make puppets.
We're trying not to
things.
Give last names, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry. Well, she would do all sorts of nice little puppets, and we'd have nice puppet shows doing some of the nativity things, stuff like that.
I remember, I don't think this was part of Christmas, but there was one year she was doing a Daniel in the Lion's Den with these puppets, and she had the two lions. It was so cute. I don't know why it's stuck in my head, but when Daniel gets thrown in and she's a little lion, she goes, I'm not going to eat him. No, God will get really mad.
That's right.
It was so cute.
Yeah.
It's one of the, I don't know if it translates well when I'm telling people on here, but it was really cute when you saw it.
It was very Jim Henson-like.
Yes, it was, because she made some of the funnest little puppets.
Yeah, she did. She had a way of really personalizing these shows. So we did a lot of that. One of my favorite memories, though, I'm sure this is one of you're going to mention, that one of my favorite memories is whenever I was 11 years old, we did this thing called the Christian's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, we kind of got bored with doing the nativity the same way every time. So
yeah,
we tried
maybe I was 12. I'm trying to remember what year.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
The first time I wrote it all out, and I still to teach it once in a while. But it was called The Christian's Christmas Carol. I played Bob Cratchit on the first one. And we had some other feller who was just visiting for a while who played Scrooge. But my favorite memory of that one was that Jeremy played Tiny Tim.
And I was tall, skinny, weird, wiry kid at the time. I was, you know, I was skeletal.
What cracked me up was I had no idea how you're going to be dressed and came your turn to come out.
Because it said in the script to come out in pajamas, and what I was wearing for pajamas at the time, because it was cold, was a pair of white long johns.
He comes walking out, and the whole church bursted out in laughter.
It was great.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Memorable.
Oh, yeah, because it was pretty much like I came out wearing white tights, man. I was...
The next year, I liked even more, I have pictures of still, was whenever I played Scrooge, you played Bob. And John played it several roles. Marvel.
Yeah. He was always a great Marley. Yeah.
And he was Marley. I'm gonna say not Marvel. He's Marley. And then he was the Christmas present. He was wrapped like a giant present. And this is before I saw that anywhere else, like any kind of Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Like they do have that, but at the time we hadn't seen that yet. It was really cute.
Was it the first year we did it that your grandpa was Scrooge?
No, just a young man who was visiting was.
Oh, because I keep thinking your grandpa played Scrooge one time.
Well, what my grandpa did was for me, I was planning on making a kind of a half animated thing about it. And I had my grandpa record the voice of Scrooge, so I still have it. I still have his voice of Scrooge.
Cool.
And if I ever use it someday, I'm hoping to someday be able to. I may use at least bits of it because, you know, I don't know if I'll change the script around. It's possible to go to someone who's in heaven and say, hey, can you do this new script?
Sure.
But because of that, I always draw when I draw Scrooge, I always put a little hints of my grandfather.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah. The main thing was fun with the Christmas Carol is when we did the Ghost of Christmas Past, we could still do our nativity show. We just do it when we visit the past. Because we went for years where we'd have a nativity, and basically, when you get up there, you get in whatever pose, and I was a shepherd for years.
Oh,
me too. Yeah, but we'd get into whatever kind of pose, and whoever was the angel would have to stick their arms out, and then they'd stop so everybody could sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we're all trying to freeze and hold that position while they all sing.
When you're little, it's hard to stay still.
Yes. It was awful. But I remember probably one of the more fun times I had is when you, me, and Seth were the three wise guys, as we said it.
Yeah.
We were the wise men and everything, and the fun part is my grandma had this outfit that she had made, I think back even with my Uncle Wayne when he was doing these kind of things as a kid, but it had like a complete outfit and everything with like the whole tunic and the robes, and so it was always fun to wear that and everything, but we were like hanging in back, and I do a lot of acting kind of stuff, and if you ever see me like backstage, I tend to work up energy because I get excited to do stuff. My wedding was crazy like this.
I remember.
You remember that. And it's because I get excited, so I'm working up, and it's what I like to call performance energy.
You're hulking out. That's
right. And then, but I like when I get there on stage, I'm like focused and everything. But it was like, I feel like I kind of almost half rushed this because I can't remember who was walking in front, but I was like, yes, we're going down, here we go. You know, I get up there, I'm like a ball of going. And so it was fun and everything, the three of us getting to be kind of knuckleheads backstage.
Certainly.
And before we came marching out. But I remember the most painful year that we did a nativity. Well, because my knees have always been kind of a pain in the neck. I'd never actually learned to crawl when I was a baby because it hurt my knees. So I scooted. I've never been able to get down on my knees for long because it's excruciating for me. I don't know why, but it's really bad. But there was one year I was Joseph and your sister was Mary. And so I had for the entire show, because we came down first, obviously, and then everybody had to visit. Yeah. And I was supposed to be sitting on my knees. I was in agony. Now I lost my train of thought. But yeah, so we've done like the nativities for years. So the Christmas Christmas Carol really gave us that chance to branch away and still do a nativity.
And I don't know if you remember this one, but what I remember was my first year as a Sunday school teacher. And I was like I'm thinking I was a junior at the time. I was a junior in high school. I had been teaching for several years, helping Miss Roberson. Mm-hmm. You remember her?
Oh, yes.
And she was outstanding. I love that woman. But anyway, I was doing my first year, and I had you come to assist me in the program. And I dressed like... Now, don't ask me why I did this, except for the fact that I was teaching at the time, for Sunday school, that is. I was teaching preschoolers. So what do kids connect with Christmas is Santa Claus. And I've always taught about Santa because I love Santa Claus. What, you know, you can still love Santa and love Jesus Christ more.
Right.
So what we did was we got all the kids around. I was dressed like Santa and Jeremy was dressed like an elf.
Yep.
Which was really perfect at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we got together and we sang with the kids. And what I loved was in front of the whole church, the kids were blowing out the candles on little cupcakes, you remember?
Yeah, we had a birthday for Jesus.
Yeah, we had a little birthday party for everyone. I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, I remember doing that. What song did we sing? We sang a song together.
We sang a couple of them. We sang Happy Birthday and all, and we came into it. And so I offer you this simple prayer to Him.
One to 92 for kids. From 1 to 92.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We basically was singing about Jesus with that tune.
Right. I knew you'd like done some reworking for it. Oh, do you remember one year, because, you know, Sunday school classes had to do separate things.
To Him who died for me and you. That's what it was. To Him who died for me and you.
Yeah. But must have been my sophomore year for junior year. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was my sophomore year. I had tried to say, okay, well, we need to update the Christians' Christmas Carol, but we weren't doing anything collective anymore. Each Sunday school class had to do their own thing. And so I had spent all this time writing up a script called The Christmas Avenger.
Oh, there you go.
Where I had, like, a Scrooge-type character, but instead of meeting three ghosts, he was going to meet this goofball superhero. And you actually made me the thing to kind of wear for the costume, because I had, like, a mask with a Santa hat, and then you'd drawn up the little thing. But I had this big, elaborate script, and then your mom was the Sunday school teacher, and we were so short on casting that all we really had is your sister being the mean person and coming across me. I looked like a bum. I was just sitting there in the corner like a bum. And I stood up, and I was teaching her the real meaning of Christmas.
I never understood that story. I remember watching it, because I wasn't in your class at the time. I remember watching and thinking, what is this?
Yeah, it did not come around to me, because I had this grandiose story and this well-written thing. I wish I still had the script I wrote. But your mom looked at it and like, we don't have time for this, nor the cast. But this is, you know, we can do something with this. And so, and it was awful. And I had been so excited to do it, and I had even, I'd gotten a copy of Robin Hood, the Prince of Thieves. And I had set up a tape recorder, and I recorded the music off of it because I wanted to play that at the start of it.
That's one of my favorite things to this day.
Yeah. And we never even got to use it. That was so disappointing. Like, this was going to be this great thing, and the whole church was going to be so excited by it, and it was terrible.
That's our salute to Michael Kamen.
There you go. That's our salute to the great Michael Kamen.
The great late great.
Yeah, late great, and thanks for recording with Metallica.
That's right.
That's a pretty cool thing for him to do. Even if the album isn't that great, it was pretty cool that he did it.
Hey, what part do I play in the Christmas pageant, Ernie?
It's the lead, Bert.
The lead?
You're going to be the star of the whole play.
Oh, me? What's the part, Ernie?
We took a vote, and everybody voted for you, Bert. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Well, who do I play?
Bert, we said, who could play this part better than anybody?
Yeah?
And who got every single vote?
Yeah, who?
Old Buddy Bert, that's who.
Me?
We said Old Bert's the only one who can play this part.
Oh, wow. What do I play, Ernie? A Santa Claus. No, an angel. The spirit of Christmas past, right? Who?
A tree.
I knew it.
You just stand here and hold your arms out, sort of tree-like. Hold out your arms there, Bert.
I knew it.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Now, don't move, Bert. Keep your arms out and try to think like a tree.
Ernie.
Shh, Bert. Okay, Prairie?
Okay.
Okay, Grover, open that curtain. Hold still now, Bert.
Welcome, oh welcome, to our little play. We're so very glad that you joined us today. To celebrate Christmas, we must find a tree. So come to the forest with Harry and me.
Here we are, Fairy and Harry, marching through the forest, looking for a Christmas tree. March, march, look, look.
Oh, see, we have found one, so straight and so tall. We'll take it and set it right in our front hall. It's green and it's lovely. Why, nothing it lacks. It's perfect, dear Harry, so get out your axe.
Hold it. Stay away from me, Harry.
Oh, don't worry, Bert. I don't have an axe anyway. I'll pull you out by the roots.
Harry, put me down.
Shh! I gotta carry you home. It's part of the play. Uh-huh. Our friends see the tree. Now they like it a lot.
Ooh, look at that.
It's so beautiful.
Now that is what I call a Christmas tree. See how it comes to a nice point on top?
Ernie.
Shh, Bert, trees don't talk.
All right, all right.
Our friends see the tree. Now they like it a lot. I take it and stuff it in a flower pot.
Harry?
Then back in some dirt.
Harry, what are you doing?
Gotta put a tree in dirt, Bert, or he'll die.
But Harry...
That's why I pulled you out by the roots, Bert, so I could transplant you.
All right, but hurry, my arms are getting tired.
Yeah. Then pack in some dirt and pour on some water.
Ah!
Gotta water a tree, Bert.
Yeah, but it's cold. There's mud in my saddle shoes.
Shh. And pour on some water and plant a Christmas tree just like I ordered.
Oh, hi, Barry.
It's your turn.
And these decorations we hang on the tree make it cute and adorable. Not unlike me. I throw on the tinsel. It glitters and glows and hangs from each branch. Not to mention Bert's nose.
Cookie, now you, Cookie.
No.
Yes.
Me hanging up candy canes. Me got a whole bunch. One for tree, one for me. Then me save one for lunch.
Then we add Christmas balls, all shiny and bright, and long strings of popcorn.
Me ate them last night.
Cookie.
Sorry.
Ernie, my arms.
Shh, Bert. Oh. This is almost the end of the play. Next to last come the lights, wound around and around, from the tippy tip top, right on down to the ground. 100 bright lights, colored bright green and red. And last comes the star, right on Bert's pointy head.
And so is our play. Just one more detail.
My arms feel like clay.
Shh, Bert. Turn out all the lights. Be as still as can be. Now it's dark. Now it's quiet. Now turn on our tree. Most handsome Christmas tree I ever saw.
Close the curtain, Harry!
Hey, Bert, you were wonderful.
a little too hard. Sorry, Bert.
golly.
One of the things that I love with one of our first nativities we've done when the churches combined, I recall that they had different cast members from each group of the Sunday school. So for the shepherds, they had the teenagers and stuff.
Yeah.
And for the wise men, that was still my favorite time I ever saw the wise men. We had three adult men come down.
Yeah.
And I remember one was Bill Chisholm. And he's with the Lord now, but Bill Chisholm, and one was Lonnie Thatcher.
Yep,
he's still with us. And then one was George Koontz, my grandfather.
Yep, I remember that.
I love when they come walking down. My grandma had all these doodads around the house. They were kind of like lanterns, but they looked really nice and fancy. So they used those for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And my grandpa wore this bathrobe that he wore just on special occasions. And it was real nice looking. It looks like something that a wise man would wear from back in the day. So for years, that was what we'd use. Every time someone had to do a wise man, we'd use that. And I would love to say we still have it. We did until a couple years ago. Someone threw it away at church. Aww. And I was not happy because that's my grandfather.
Yeah.
But still, those are fun days. And I remember that.
That's part of the fun of like the old Christmas pages, because it's there's a song I'm going to play if I haven't played it already. I don't know when I'm going to put these songs in, but it quotes the line, it looks like there was a sale on bathrobes at Walmart.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
you
know? that's kind of what it looks like, because everybody's... I was always nice that I actually had a costume that Grandma had made, but it got passed down. I remember there was one year, it was adorable, and I don't remember who the baby was, but your grandma was like... I don't know, was a nursery help or whatever, but she came down with a little jingle bell and a little baby with a Santa hat, singing a little song.
Yeah, he was the only one she would have, and that was, I'm trying to think of his name right now. His last name was Roberts. I remember because I knew the family pretty well, but for some reason I can't remember the kid's name. But he was cute. She held him. Yeah
it was an adorable thing. They came walking down the middle. But it was not a complete thing until... after, of course, your dad would have been, through the nativity telling the Christmas story, but then good old Riley Brown would get
good
up there,
Riley Brown.
Whip out that sombrero.
Oh, yeah.
And start singing, "Oh, the hat I got for Christmas is to be."
My mother, and then played that song for him, and he went nuts for it, that old song. Now, isn't that Mel Blanc?
Yes, yeah. Mel Blanc did it.
And
in fact, I will play it right now.
The hat I got for Christmas is too big. It's nice, but my sombrero is too big. Is it raining? Is it snowing? I can't see where I am going, 'cause the hat I got for Christmas is too big. But ring the bells and beat the drum. Ring the bells and beat the drum. I'll ring the bells, be polite. But if I see that Santa Claus, I'm going to start a fight. The hat I got for Christmas is too big. Oh, it's nice, but my sombrero is too big. If you wonder why I shiver, I fell three times in the river, 'cause the hat I got for Christmas is too big. But ring the bells and beat the drum. Ring the bells and beat the drum. I'll ring the bells, but I feel sick, 'cause Mr. Santa Claus, you played on me a dirty trick. The hat I got for Christmas is too big. It's nice, but my sombrero is too big. If you think it's hot in Siam, you should be in here where I am. The hat I got for Christmas is too big. The hat I got for Christmas is too big. It's nice, but my sombrero is too big. Can't tell one thing from another. I got married to my brother. The hat I got for Christmas is too big. But ring the bells and beat the drum. Ring the bells and beat the drum.
and say ole. But Mr. Senior Santa Claus, you spoil my holiday. ¿Por qué such a sombrero grande, Santa Claus?
So I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was good.
I hope I was listening to get my actual song cue in right there. Otherwise, that's going to be completely pointless. Yeah. And I hope I found it on iTunes so you can purchase it off the website, because it's awesome and you will love it and we'll listen to it every year.
But now every year when I hear it, I hear different words. The waist I got at Christmas is too big.
You're allowed, though. It's Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be no fat faces or skinny bodies at Christmas. So, but always, one of the things that was always so special when we were kids, and when you would leave, they'd have little bags, like treat bags for all us kids.
Still
had oranges and apples and candy canes and hard candies. And, you know, what's cool about that is I never really knew it back then, but I've heard, you know, as I've gotten older, when you talk to people who are, you know, like much older than us, that was Christmas. That was what you wanted in your stockings. You'd love to get those apples and oranges. That was what made Christmas special. And they didn't need all the frills that we were kind of, you know, we were a little spoiled maybe.
A little.
With all the things we expect. But back then, they'd get some nuts and apples and oranges, and it was the greatest thing. And it really kind of reminded me how special those bags were.
I didn't get to see it today, but I know that today, I'm here in Clay Como, Missouri, that the there was the fire truck that went around today. They always had Santa on the back, and they would every year give you a little bag of treats, and there would always be oranges and apples and the nuts, different types of walnuts and awesome. All that stuff. And you know, it's funny is I didn't always eat the walnuts and stuff because it was always hard on my teeth, but I got to say that it was something that was so Christmassy to me.
Yeah.
About the smell of all that together. And
yeah.
I just loved it. Until you accidentally poured it all out together in your toy box and you smell the rotten apple later.
Oh.
which happened more than once.
You know, and I had never ever thought or seen anything like that until actually just this week. And I'm going to plug another podcast called Inside the Magic, insidethemagic.net. But anyways, the guy who's the host of that had posted up stuff on Facebook, some video he took. I guess they do this regularly around Orlando, but they had the full sirens going. Like a police car and a fire truck, yep. Right behind the fire truck. It was towing Santa on his sled, waving, going right through the neighborhoods.
That's awesome.
And I was like, my goodness, that's great. Well, but I've never heard of Santa.
In the old day, kids, you know, first of all, I don't know if they were doing this during the Depression. I'm assuming they were. But kids didn't have much.
Yep.
And sometimes that was all poor kids were going to get was that bag of candy and all, maybe something from the folks. But that was pretty special.
Yeah.
And I think it still is.
But I still get a kick out of it.
That's why I kind of, and not to get on the back of my day situation, but I do think it's sad.
That's what this show is about.
The kids, you know, kids nowadays, and hey, we were spoiled too.
Yeah.
But kids nowadays, I think sometimes have so much stuff that they don't appreciate the little things. And to me, the little things make the big stuff.
Yeah.
Worth living at least.
It was fun. And that's one of the things, you know, we've learned is with working with kids over at the church and whatnot is when it comes to like overnights, you give them prizes that are the simplest toys. They have a ball with it. Mm-hmm. They don't need a lot of the high-tech stuff when you get down to it, unless you're really just a spoiled jerk. But we're getting off on a way other topic. But yeah, I mean, simple toys mean so much. You know, just because there's more you can do with a toy that has more than one function, you know?
Yeah.
If it flies around the room, it can become a rocket. It can do all this other kind of things in a kid's imagination.
It's like whenever, so, I've always noticed
tangent.
This. You end up buying a toy for a kid, and it's kind of funny. We laugh about it, but sometimes the kid will get more out of the box. I'm talking about the little kids. They get more out of the box than they do the toy itself.
Yeah, I guess you can make stuff out of that box sometimes.
I remember buying my nephew, my eldest nephew, Baron. I bought him a big stuffed toy of the Beast once. Really isn't that big, but it was the first one they brought out of him. And but I remember it was a 1991. And I remember the Beast came in this box that was made to look like a seat for the Beast. So Baron picks up the Beast and sets it next to the box, sits down holding this old toy guitar, and sets in the box like a chair. And it was so cute.
I hope Baron's going to listen to this show, because that would be awesome, because he's all grown up now.
You don't remember that at all, I'm sure.
Oh, man. Oh, the fun. Let's see, was there anything we're not... Oh, you know, there was, I think the last Christmas pageant we ever got to do together and everything, you were teaching a class.
Mm-hmm.
And
usually am now.
Usually am, yeah. And you had me come out as Linus. You had, like, all the kids were giving lines from different Christmas specials on trying to figure out the meaning of Christmas, and I came down as Linus and gave the lines.
And unfortunately, we didn't get to practice that one as much as I'd hoped we had. Yeah. But it, I enjoyed it. And the fact that I remember, you know, you all who are listening probably don't know, but every year I try to make two or three new songs. All I do is take songs that everybody knows and loves, like Jingle Bells, whatever, and change the lyrics to represent Jesus or something of a biblical principle. And so I remember that year we took Blue Christmas, and we sang There Will Be No Christmas Without You. And the kids are singing to Jesus. The kids are singing to Jesus. They said, There Would Be No Christmas Without You. And then they went through the whole thing, and at the end of it they say, you know, if you let him in, then Christmas can begin, and we'll have a true Christmas. And that was a good one.
Yeah, I remember that one. That reminds, speaking of songs that were like tradition, I remember every year your mom would even sing, and I don't know what you call the song, but C is for the Christ Child.
That is called Christmas, and it has the letters.
It has all the letters of Christmas.
A lot of people don't know this. I learned it from Jim Reeves, great old singer.
I've heard that version, I think, on the radio.
He starts off with when I was just a youngster, Christmas meant one thing, that I'd be getting lots of toys a day. I learned a whole lot different when Mother set me down and taught me to spell Christmas this way. And then goes into spelling it. C is for the Christ Child, born upon this day. H is for herald angels in the night. R for, R means our Redeemer. I means Israel. And S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men.
They who travel far. Yeah. M is for the manger where he lay.
Mm-hmm. A is for all he stands for. S means shepherds came. And that's why there's a Christmas day. Then he goes
You're
back.
Getting more songs than you expected this time, right?
Because sorry.
You're getting us singing, which is probably horrible.
I didn't realize until looking at a video I was in not long ago, I sing continuously. I'm always singing. Don't even realize it. I'll just pick up. I didn't know it, but I was watching it with my wife, watching a video, and I said, do I really sing that much? She goes, I can't ever get you to stop.
Which is why that when Chicken Little movie came out with the little pig guy, when he was always singing, that's why he reminded us of you. It's like, not because he was a pig or anything.
It's okay.
But because he was always singing, and he was always pretty happy, and it's like, that's Phil, his personality.
I know I'm the John Candy type of guy. It's okay.
With more songs involved.
That's right.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Let's see, is there anything else I can think of like the Christmas pageants that we used to do? I'm gonna think of one. Of course, now I'm all grown up, they've all changed, and I'm, you know, but of course we're talking childhood memories, but now as a grown up, now I'm in the choir and I sing cantatas and they're all these big nice things. And
I still do a lot of the same things. I'm the one now who has to come up with things for kids to do.
Yeah.
Problem is, when you don't have a whole lot of kids, you find yourself doing most of it. And so I don't know if people think I do that on purpose, but the fact of the matter is I've learned a lot of things. First of all, as kids have grown up, a lot of them that I've had at least are a lot less hammier, and they don't really want to do a lot. So they don't mind singing, but they don't want to learn lines. So I've learned a lot of times to put all the pressure on myself.
Yeah.
And this year, provided we get to do it tomorrow, and if not, we'll do it in a week, what I'm going to do is sing songs with the kids, and I'm going to show a lot of the drawings I've done of Jesus in the style that I do. And that way, through song and time, I will tell the story of Jesus. That way, we'll have a nativity, even though we don't have enough kids to do it. And they won't have to be embarrassed by learning lines. And we'll all go out together in the same light.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that's really impressed me. The church I'm going now, the children already did their show. And I actually have the audio. I might share a little bit, but I don't know how well it picked up. But they did this baseball-themed kind of play.
It was cute, adorable.
But it's always going to be a great tradition to see the children do some sort of Christmas program.
Beautiful.
Even if you don't have any kids, because I don't. But I love watching everybody else's kids. I enjoy them. They're wonderful. They're so much fun. And they put so much time and effort into it. And it's always going to be a grand tradition. I will enjoy it until my dying day and probably even thereafter.
Amen.
So, and remind myself to put a disclaimer that, yes, there will be religious talk in this episode, but it's Christmas. We're going to talk Christmas.
Yeah.
And this is what Christmas means to us. You know, whatever Christmas means to you, feel free to email to podcast at neverlandpodcast.com. And please do visit the website, neverlandpodcast.com. You can download any songs that I play during this show, which I haven't even picked out every song I'm going to play. I'm going to have to interrupt us to do them. But I love playing some Christmas music. And if you like the Christmas music, same as I do, I'll have it available so you can purchase them directly from iTunes. Once again, I will say, find me on Twitter. It's just simply the Neverland Podcast. That's Facebook. Twitter, it's Neverland PCast. So go ahead and follow me. Friend me on Facebook. We have a grand old time. But basically, so far, mainly what I've tweeted and shared out is that a new show is available. And also, I'll let you know what I'm talking about on the next show. And what I like from that is for you to email in if you have a story that you'd like to share on whatever the subject matter is going to be. I want to hear from you because I do plan on sharing. Now, if anybody has shared with me, I haven't looked at the email in a couple days, I will be sharing right now your stories of maybe something fun you did when you were in a Christmas pageant, or some memories you might have. Otherwise, hey, you haven't shared a memory, then please do. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say about that, and I will probably close the show out. Actually, my wife should have a good story for everybody. She was about to tell last week. If all of you that listened last week, my wife has all kinds of good, fun Christmas stories. And I was thinking, okay, well, just share like one, because I'm planning to be here still next year, and maybe the year after, and the year after. And so I always have a good, fresh Christmas story, but she just wanted to tell everything. And she started to tell her Christmas pageant story. And I had to, I was in the room, so I was signaling in her. And so if you listened last week, she actually said, oh, and my husband is reminding me to share it, save it for next week. So I'm going to get her recorded at some fashion and have her share the story, which might be somewhere in the middle of the show. I don't know. You may have already heard it by the time you're hearing me say this right now. As you can tell, I am not that scripted. I think of what I want to say in my head, and then I just say it. So I try to think ahead, but
I was remembering another Christmas pageant.
Oh, good, good, good.
And this was from 1996, I do believe. But I remember that we put on a big play. We had a lot of people in church at the time. And my aunt was directing it. And she decided to have two nativities in one. And the first one was what kids misunderstand about the story and how people get words all mixed up and messed up and what's really going on. And then the second one was when it was all done right. I remember that she had me and told me, she said, Philip, how would you like to be a real big tall angel? And I said, I think that kind of angel would scare the people to death.
I am the angel of Christmas.
But anyway, she had me dress up in a big white robe, and folks, I'm a big feller. I mean, I really am, so that would be scary. But anyway, I was standing with all the kids around me, and I was the herald angel. And so
Herald the angel?
Herald was a badge on me. And I came out. This. Yeah, and I had to sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I had to do this real cheesy. She said, like a lounge lizard, you know? And I couldn't help but think of that type of a guy, that kind of a Robert Goulet meets John Lovitz type.
With a little bit of Frank Sinatra for some class.
That's it, man. And with the size and stature of John Candy and John Goodman combined. But anyway, so I was out there singing that. And then I remember my cousin John, you guys came down as the wise men. And you guys were being kind of goofy. And she had made, because she was a great at sewing and making things, she made him come out riding an ostrich.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes. It was so funny.
And by the time it was all done, they did the real nativity.
Yeah.
It was real nice and pretty, and there was a lot of singing. I remember there was candles lit everywhere. It was really pretty. It worked out really well.
Oh, and that's something else. You know, this is a different sort of childhood memory, but that's something I've always loved, is having a candlelight service.
Absolutely.
When we go and we turn out the lights, and your father would start with a lit candle and let's pass it on, and until we lit up the whole room, and then we'd all sing Silent Night together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, get you at the heart.
My father had a real classy way of speaking.
Yeah,
I mean, he has. I'm sure you can tell
with his Arkansas.
That's it.
It's just his history.
History. Yeah. When you
the mystery of his history.
You can hear in my voice probably a little bit of accent. That's okay. But he had a good accent, but it was the way he was talk was so down home and comfortable. And when he would talk about the Lord Jesus, you could feel the love.
Yeah.
And he would speak, and he loved those services. That and the Thanksgiving night service, the night before Thanksgiving, we'd have prayer services. And Those were his favorites. Those were his favorite Wednesdays because he said that he could feel the love of the Lord in the room. And in fact, one time I talked to him, he started getting teary eyed. And I tell you, it just about makes me cry thinking of it. But he was such a good man and always talking about one who's even better than him, the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And so those candlelight services were outstanding. As a man of God, I thought they were great. As the janitor of the church that I used to be, I couldn't stand.
Are you going to wax poetic about it?
Well, what I would have to do, well, I found a little secret. Now, it doesn't work extremely well.
Put it under the arm?
Yeah, this is what it was. No.
Okay.
If you take, like, brown paper, and you, kind of like a brown paper bag, and you take an iron, and you put the paper down, and you go over it, you can pick up a lot of wax.
Ah, just make sure you take the apples and the oranges and the candy canes out of that brown paper
bag. That's
right.
Right? That's right.
So you can have something to eat while you're working.
So we used to do those and loved them. We're still doing some of that. We're still doing some of the handing out the candy and all. And my dad taught me well. He said, wait till after Halloween, get them on sale.
There you go.
And we did.
Oh, yeah.
And every year we, to this day, I go out and I do those very things, get stuff ready, you know?
Yeah, but I'm glad the church I go to, we do a candlelight service on Christmas
Eve. Outstanding.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. And always having a good time at doing our Christmas cantata thing. This, once again, I'm getting away from a childhood memory, but just, you know, this past week when we did our cantata.
You're still a child, you know that.
Yeah, I'm still a big kid. But it is so much fun. But that's one of the things that's special about Christmas. And maybe for a lot of people listening, you're not part of a church, and you know, maybe it's a Christmas tree was just something Santa Claus, and you know, that's a whole other ball of wax. But it was just so special singing. We didn't even do songs that were Christmas songs. We did this thing called Experiencing God. But when the church would recognize the song we were singing, and they would be singing along with us. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, because they sing with us all the time when you're up in the praise choir and you're just, you know, with worship time. But during when you're doing your program. And you got the music, and everybody, and we all sing together. It's just so special, and especially when we had some stuff that brought tears to eyes and everything. It's just, you know, that's the way I can describe. And once again, warning, religious content, warning. But you can feel God's presence in the room as like this great love.
Yeah.
When you just have this love where you just kind of want to take everybody by the hand and just hug everybody there.
Is that what I call the goosebumpy feeling?
The goosebumpy feeling of just, but you just feel this love wrap Spirit. You up and over them. And that's, to me, what God feels like when he, Spirit, when he shows up. It's just, you just feel just this great love and you
always,
just
happy. I was, well, speaking of Peter Pan type of stuff, I always feel like that's where I feel like my happy thought is. Where I can fly. I've been there many times, but I just feel like I'm not even standing on the same ground, you know, up high.
So I encourage everybody, you know, if you hear this before Christmas Eve, you know, find a local church if they're doing a Christmas Eve service and just be a part of it. You'll make some new memories. I really think you'd enjoy it. Bring the whole family along and find one where it's doing a good candlelight service where you just can sing together. It'll make your Christmas really special unless you're completely, you know, an atheist, then you probably don't care. And if that's the case, you're probably already stop listening to me by now anyway. But still come back next week, you know, because... We're not going to always be this is not a religious program, but this is Christmas, and this is part of what, you know, our special Christmas is. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, how our Christmas spirit is, and so this is how we celebrate. So I hope you've enjoyed, and I hope you can relate. Come back next week, and we'll talk about the several weird things of the days of Christmas, including, two baby frogs from Elmo, and a beer in a tree, all kinds of different fun, weird, and wacky things. Even the Polish meals from Christmas, Polish food dishes. So it'll be all next week. It'll be a lot of wacky fun, and I figured it's good for the extended, you know, week, because really, when it comes to New Year's, I don't know what to recall from New Year's. So once we hit January, we're going to go into what's going to be kind of more normal for the show. We're going to just talk about TV shows, and you will hear Phil again, because if there's anybody who's more 80s nostalgic than I am, it's him. And it's mainly because we were kids in the 80s and everything was awesome. You know, even if we, you know, childhood wasn't always the greatest thing, but, you know, there was things we really enjoyed, and if you grew up the same time as us, you'll relate.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully we all have, hopefully you enjoyed this show. Once again, I've already given the email address twice, but please email me or find me on Facebook and stuff, and let me know what you think of the show and something maybe you'd like to be able to discuss or have us discuss. If you're local, I might even have you come on the show, if you're not afraid to. I am hoping to one day do a show about this wonderful band called the Aquabats, but the guy who is the expert doesn't really want to come on, and so I'm trying to, you know, encourage him, like, oh, come on, it'll be fun.
He's microphone shy.
Yeah, he's a little microphone shy. He loves to listen to podcasts, and he's probably listening right now. But one way or another,
Shaking his head no.
But because you guys will, if you are not watching the Aquabats TV show or listening to their music, I guarantee you will. If you're a big kid, you're going to love them. They are just fun and awesome. So that's coming. But we're going to talk about 80s TVs with a lot of different themes. Talk about some old video games. So come January, we'll quit talking about Christmas. And I actually probably be a little depressed for a little while that we can't talk about Christmas no more. But sooner or later, there will be another holiday. If I had gotten going a little sooner, I would have loved to have actually had some Halloween shows. But that's for next year. We got a whole new year, and we're looking forward to it. And a lot of fun shows, a lot of cool stuff. And I might, end up having to go to a two-week format. I don't know if I'll keep thinking of things to do, but I've got a lot of ideas right now. So, sing it, Bing. But as Phil is getting a phone call, so once again, this was my guest, Phil.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And it's a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, because I'm cool with Hanukkah. After you learn the story of Hanukkah, I like it. I think I want to celebrate it next year. I need a Jewish friend to teach me how. I don't have any Jewish friends.
You
anymore.
Can look it up. They'll show you. Online, yeah.
Because after you hear the whole story of what that was, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'd kind of like to celebrate alone because it's a cool story, which, maybe by next year I'll read out the story for anybody who doesn't know. Because for a long time I didn't know until we actually talked about it in my church and everything. It's a good story. But anyway, so this has been the Neverland Podcast. And stay tuned for either some more music or for a story from Heather. I don't know what's about to happen next. I might have to close the show a whole nother time. Because Bill might have another thought in his head. Did you think of any other stories before I hop off?
Not before. I got him back there, and I'll think of him here in a little bit.
Yeah, as soon as I turn off the mic, he's going to be like, oh, remember that time? And I'll be like, oh, wait, let me get the recording. Please rate and review the show before I sign off here. It's very important. On iTunes, Stitcher Radio, you can go through, and I have learned on iTunes, you do have to kind of go into their store and search for the podcast, find it, and then you can actually write a review, give a star rating. Stitcher actually sent me an email address for it to review my own show. So hopefully if you're listening on Stitcher, you're going to get an email from them and ask what you think. These reviews really do help out with the algorithms to help people find it, for people who are actually looking for it, or people who don't know they're looking for this. And tell your friends, tell everybody, get on social media, let them know if you're enjoying the show. And if anybody, I actually had somebody ask, so what is the Neverland Podcast? The best way I can explain it is, it's the podcast where you don't have to grow up. We're going to talk about our childhood, relive our childhood. We are just not going to grow up, and we are going to forget all the stress of being
an adult.
And have a good time being kids and laugh a little bit, because there's some funny music I will be playing for you here. In fact, next week, come back. 12 Days of Christmas, a lot of funny versions. So I think I've already mentioned that 100 times. So not to sound like a broken record, but yes, come back next week, because it's fun to listen to me ramble. I think. Unless you've already switched off and you're not listening to me anymore. Okay.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.